All right. Well, we're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 1. The Bible says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, and to Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like you to notice these words in verse number 3. Paul says this. He says, as I besought thee, and I want you to make note of these words. He says, to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In a couple of weeks here, our church will be having our annual Family and Friend Day, and we will be celebrating the 10-year anniversary of our church. But if I may let you in on a little secret, today is actually, honestly, the 10-year anniversary of our church. And we started Verity Baptist Church on Labor Day weekend on September 5th, 2010, 10 years ago. And you may be thinking, well, why isn't today Family and Friend Day? Well, we stopped having the church anniversary celebration on Labor Day weekend many years ago. And as you can tell by the attendance, it's counterproductive to try to have a big day on Labor Day weekend. So we've decided years ago to celebrate the church's anniversary a couple of weeks after Labor Day. But we really did begin the church on Labor Day weekend. And what that means is that my wife and I have now been in ministry for a decade. And we've got a 13-year-old today. We've been in ministry for a decade. So we're getting old. And we're getting old right before your eyes. And often when you have an anniversary celebration, when you have a Family and Friend Day, when you have a 10-year anniversary, what you focus on is the fact that you started something. We started Verity Baptist Church in our living room 10 years ago. But in reality, the celebration is more about the fact that you stayed with something. It's important to start, and I think all of us would understand that. But it's more important to stay. And what we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is the Apostle Paul, who is an older man. 1 and 2 Timothy are generally accepted as the Apostle Paul's last letters that he wrote, the last epistles, and he's speaking to a young preacher, Timothy, and he says to him these words. He says, as I besought thee, he says, to abide still at Ephesus. We are told today that the average pastor does not stay more than 5 years with a church. And what I want to preach about this morning is why staying is more important than starting. Why it is that staying somewhere, staying with something, staying with someone is more important than starting something, than beginning something. The Bible says, you have to turn there, but in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says this, better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. And I think you would understand that when I say staying is more important than starting, I hope you would understand that. Starting a marriage is important, but staying in a marriage is more important. Do you understand that? You say, well, we started a marriage. Okay, but if you didn't stay with that marriage, the start really doesn't mean anything. Starting to have children, young couples who are starting to have children, that's an exciting time. That's a good time. It's important to start to have children. But I think we would all agree that staying with those children is more important than starting those children. Starting a new job is important, but staying at that job is more important. Starting to go to church is important, but staying at that church is more important. Starting a Bible reading program is important, but staying with that Bible reading program is more important. Starting to go soul winning is a good thing, but staying in soul winning is an even more important thing. See, staying is more important than starting. And we often celebrate the start of a thing, the birth of a thing, the inception of a thing, but what we really should focus on and what we really should be celebrating is the fact that we've stayed with something. Staying is more important than starting. This is why Paul says to Timothy, he says, as I besought thee, he says, to abide still at Ephesus. Here you have a mature preacher, an old preacher, at the end of his ministry, giving advice to a young preacher, and he says, Timothy, let me tell you something, you need to stay there. Stay in Ephesus. Stay there because staying is more important than starting. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of why staying is more important than starting. And please understand this. I'm not teaching you why. I'm not talking about how to stay. I want to talk about why to stay. Now, if you're interested in knowing on how to stay, I actually just preached a sermon not that long ago. My wife and I were in West Virginia. I preached a sermon entitled How to Stay in the Christian Life for the Long Haul. And I gave some thoughts there on how to stay in the Christian life for decades. And if you're interested in that, I'd encourage you to check that out on our website or YouTube. I'm not talking this morning about how to stay. I am talking this morning about why to stay. I want to give you several reasons in regards to why it is more important to stay than to start. Why it is more important to stay than to start. You're there in 1 Timothy. Keep your place there. We're going to come back to it. But go up to the book of Psalms, if you would. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Psalm 12, if you would. And let me just say this, and I'll give you 3 points this morning, and I'd encourage you to write these down. Why is it more important to stay than to start? Number one, it is more important to stay than to start because it allows for a consistent Christian life. It is more important to stay with something. It is more important to stay faithful than to necessarily start something. You say, why? Because here's the truth. Anybody can really start anything. Amen. I mean, anybody can start a business. You say, oh, we're excited we started a business. Okay, well, here's the thing. You need to stay with that business. Anybody can start doing all sorts of things. You say, in the Christian life, why is it more important to stay than to start? Here's why. Because it allows for a consistent Christian life. And let me just say this. When I say the word consistent, what I mean by that is the Bible word faithfulness or faithful. In fact, let me just read to you the definition of the word faithfulness. The word faithful or faithfulness means this: thorough in the performance of a duty, true to one's promise, vows, or commitments, steady, loyal, constant, or reliable. See, the Bible speaks about being a faithful minister, being a faithful Christian. What does that mean? It means that someone who's faithful, someone who's consistent, is someone who's thorough in the performance of a duty. It means you give them a job to do, you give them a task to do, and they don't do it half-heartedly, they do it thoroughly. It means that they are true to one's promises or vows. When they make a vow, when they make a commitment, they stick with it. They're steady. They're loyal. They're constant. They're reliable. See, God desires for us to be faithful people. But the truth is this, there is a scarcity of faithfulness. Are you there in Psalm 12? Look down at verse number 1. Psalm 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this, the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Notice what David says. He says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Notice these words. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. David said, as I look around at men and women today, he says, the faithful fail. He says, it's hard to find someone who's faithful. It's hard to find someone who's consistent. It's hard to find someone who's going to be thorough in the performance of their duty, to be someone who's going to be true to their promises and to their vows and their commitments, someone who's going to be steady in life, someone who's going to be loyal in life, someone who's going to be constant in life, someone who's going to be reliable. He says, David says, hey, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Do you know that there's a scarcity of faithfulness today? If you're there in Psalms, go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Notice verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. The Bible says this: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That is a biblical prophecy of Facebook. That is a biblical prophecy of social media. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Just go on Facebook. Just go on Twitter. Just go on Instagram. You know what you see? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Notice what the Bible says, though. But a faithful man, who can find? He says, look, it's hard to find someone who's faithful. By the way, I'm not saying this to try to scare you. The scarcity of faithfulness ought not scare you. If anything, especially you young men, the scarcity of faithfulness ought to encourage you. Because of the fact that is hard to find. It's hard to find people who are reliable. It's hard to find people who are constant. It's hard to find people who are steady. It's hard to find people who follow through on their commitments because faithful men fail. Hey guys, it's not that hard to shine at the job. I mean, the truth is this. Most people that go to work today show up late, take long lunches, don't do what they're supposed to do. Is that, look, most people you work with are not going to be faithful. So if you want to shine at work, just be faithful. Just be loyal and steady and consistent and thorough in your performance of duties. True to your commitments. See, there's a scarcity to faithfulness. David says, the faithful fail. He says, Proverbs says, a faithful man, who can find? It's hard to find people that are going to be faithful week after week, year after year. But let me tell you something. There's not only a scarcity of faithfulness, there's a requirement for faithfulness. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, okay, Pastor, I get that. It's hard to find faithful people. What's the big deal? The big deal is this, that the Christian life, and I'm not talking about salvation. Please understand, there's a difference between salvation and sanctification. There's a difference between being a child of God and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get born again by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That requires no work at all. That requires no effort at all. That requires putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But if you say, well, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, that requires a lot of work. That requires a lot of effort. That requires forsaking all, leaving all, and putting all your effort into following the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two different things. And you say there's a scarcity of faithfulness. Yes, but there is a requirement for faithfulness in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 2. The Bible says this, moreover, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required. It is required. It's not an option. It's not something that you, this is not a characteristic you may need to have. Look, there are some things that you can have and not have in the Christian life and be okay. But it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God says, if I'm going to use you, if I'm going to use you in the work of God, you must be faithful. See, it is more important to stay than to start because it allows for a consistent Christian life. It allows for you to be faithful. To be faithful somewhere. To be faithful to something. And the truth is this, if you would go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The truth is this, here at Verity Baptist Church, and I think at any good church, and not just church, but any good business, any good organization, should do this, and we do this. We do not put people in leadership at Verity Baptist Church in the hopes that they will one day become faithful. I mean, I've heard stories. I remember hearing a story one time of individuals my wife and I knew, and they literally went in and had a meeting with the pastor, and they're telling the pastor that they're leaving the church, and they're telling the pastor they're leaving the church for a certain reason, and the pastor's like, what if I make you a deacon? And they're like, sold, we'll stay. And they stayed. I'm thinking, good night, you know? And you're giving people positions just to keep them. Hey, you know what? At Verity Baptist Church, we do not put people in leadership in hopes that they will be faithful. In fact, we put people in leadership because they're faithful. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Notice what Paul said. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. And by the way, the enabling comes from the Lord. Don't ever forget that. Anything you do, anything I do, anything we accomplish it for God because God enables us to do it. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Notice, he says, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. See, you need to be faithful and God will enable. You be faithful and God will show up and help you. But here's what Paul said. Paul said, God put me into the ministry because he counted me faithful. See, we're not put people in leadership in the hopes that they will become faithful. We put people in leadership because of the fact that they are faithful. And let me just go ahead and say this. I hope you will join us next Sunday morning. I really hope you will join us next Sunday morning because next Sunday morning I'm going to be preaching a sermon where I'm going to be rolling out a new leadership structure for Verity Baptist Church. Well, the ways that we've done things here at this church for the last 10 years has worked for us, and we thank the Lord for it. But the next 10 years, something needs to change. We need to increase our ability and our capacity. Next week, I'm going to be preaching a sermon and rolling out a new leadership structure for our church. And I hope you'll be here to be a part of that, to hear that as we talk about how we will move forward for the next 10 years. But just know this, that we put people in leadership because they're faithful. for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Go to the book of Luke, if you would, Luke chapter 16. Continue to keep your place there in 1 Timothy. Luke chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 16. If you cannot be faithful, then you cannot be put over in charge of things. This is a principle found in Scripture. Luke 16, verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12, the Bible says this, and ye have not been faithful. This is, of course, a parable, but Jesus is speaking. He says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? He says, look, you've got to be faithful. You say, oh, one day I hope to run a flourishing, thriving business. Okay, well, you make sure you're a good employee when you're not the business owner. Say, oh, no, I'm going to slack off while I'm an employee, but once I get that management position, then I'll be faithful. No, you won't. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Look, the requirement to be used of God is one word, faithfulness. It's one word, staying with something. It's one word, constant, reliable, performing your duty, being true to your commitments and your vows. You say, why is it? You say, Pastor, you know, I like to start things. And I always think it's funny when people start these grand schemes, these grand things. And because of every man will talk about their own goodness, because of social media, people always want to show off all their great things they're going to do. People, you know, want to talk about, oh, I'm starting this new Bible reading program, and I'm going to be reading 27 chapters a day, and I'm going to read the Bible through 7 times this year. Why don't you make the announcements once you've read the Bible 7 times this year? It's easy to start. Anybody can start, I'm starting a new diet, and I'm going to lose 70 pounds, and let me make a YouTube video about how to lose the 70 pounds, then make the YouTube video. Raise the children, then write the blog. You see what I'm saying? Anybody can start anything. Anybody can do anything. But it's more important to stay than to start. Do you know it's more important to stay on the diet than it is to start the diet? Why? Because it allows for consistency in your life. See, staying allows for a consistent Christian life. There's a scarcity of faithfulness today, but the requirement to be used of God is one word, faithfulness. Go back to 2 Timothy, if you would. If you kept your place in 1 Timothy, just the next book over, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me give you a second reason. We're talking about why it's more important to stay than to start. Why it's more important to stay than to start? Well, number one, because it allows for a consistent Christian life. Here's point number two. It is more important to stay than to start because it builds credibility in your testimony. It is more important to stay than to start because it builds credibility in your testimony. See, staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. Did you know that? Notice what the Apostle Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, this is Paul towards the end of his life, an old man who's been faithful for a long time. Notice what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, Paul, who's been doing this for a long time, has been faithful for a long time, has been in ministry for a long time, he looks at Timothy and he says, hey, you know what? The things that thou hast heard of me. See, some of us, some people, we don't stay somewhere long enough to develop a godly testimony and a reputation. I mean, imagine if Paul was just this fly-by-night. You know, you've been here for a couple of weeks, Paul. And by the way, this is how people show, you know, people who listen to my sermons online, listen to Pastor Anderson online, listen to other pastors that we're friends with online. They listen to all this preaching online. Then they show up to some church. You know, some young guy shows up to some church and wants to tell the pastor how we need to change everything. We need to change everything around here. The things that thou hast heard of me. And they're like, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. You say, well, can we influence and try to help people get better? You always tell young men this. Why don't you show up somewhere, be there for 5 years, show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, show up for soul winning every week, show up to the work day, show up to everything the pastor is pushing and the agenda he's pushing. Be faithful with your tithes and offerings. Show some credibility and then try to influence him. You want to just show up and say, let me tell you everything you're doing wrong. And then the pastor shuts you down and then they come and cry, the pastor shut us down. I'm glad he shut you down. He should have shut you down. Any pastor worth his salt has been in the ministry for 10, 15, 20. He's not going to take orders from some 21-year-old. But I'm right. Okay, yeah, you're right. But how about credibility? It's more important to stay than to start because it builds credibility in your life. See, Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, you have to stay somewhere long enough. You have to stay somewhere long enough to be able to say, hey, the things that thou hast heard of me. You know the things you've heard about my ministry? You know the things that you've heard about my wife and I? You know the things you've heard about Verity Baptist Church? I'm thankful that up to this point, my wife and I are able to travel this country and help younger churches and churches that are starting out and be able to say, hey, I know you guys have heard some things about us. I know you've heard about us on the news and you've heard about some of the persecutions. Hey, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. See, you've got to be able to stay somewhere long enough to say that. It is more important to stay than to start. You say, why? Because it builds your credibility. You say, why? Because it actually lends to your testimony. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 10. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul says, you know what? You've fully known my doctrine. You know everything I believe. He says, manner of life, and what he's saying is this, you've fully known my doctrine. He says, you've fully known my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And look, Paul wasn't perfect. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Obviously, if you're looking for a perfect leader, you've got one. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But imperfect leaders can say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. And he says, look, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions? Notice his words. I endured. Let me ask you something. What have you endured? What can you say? Hey, I've been here for a while. I've done this for a while. I've been doing this for a while. You say, the point is this. It's more important to stay than to start. I'm not down on starting. Everybody needs to start somewhere. Everybody needs to start something. We all have to start. It's good to start. And I'm excited when people start. I want to celebrate the fact that people start. But you know what? I'm more excited about them staying than starting. I'm starting to follow Jesus Christ. Good, but you stay. If you do a word study, and I'm not going to do it this morning, if you go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would, Hebrews chapter 13, you're there in 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. If you do a word study of the word continue throughout the book of Acts, you'll notice that that word is often associated with discipleship and that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that they should continue in the faith. Continue is something that God has called us to do. Why? Because it is more important to say than to start. You say, why? Well, because it builds credibility. Staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. See, staying somewhere for a long time allows others to see an example of faithfulness. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Notice these words, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation is an older word in our King James Bible. It means lifestyle. It says considering the end of their conversation. Please understand this, mom and dad. If you come to a church like Verity Baptist Church and you allow this to be just a phase in your life, you will accomplish nothing. You say, I want to raise children for God, that serve God, that love the Lord. I want to raise children that read the Bible every day and pray every day and want to go to church and want to go soul-winning. Well, if you want to raise children that want to go to church, you better let them see you going to church year after year after year after year after year. I'll raise children that want to read the Bible. Well, then they better see you reading the Bible day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. See, there is no influence in just a fad, just a phase. In fact, for many of you, that's what your family says, right? You start coming to church like this, and I'm like, oh, that's a little too much. Sunday morning and Sunday night? You're going to knock on doors? Like a Jehovah's Witness? And you know what they say? Oh, it's just a fad. It's a phase. Remember when they went into flat earth? That's what they're saying, right? Remember? They're always on to all these weird conspiracy things. Remember when they did this? Remember when they... That's what your family says. And unfortunately, for some people, your family's right. See, it's easy to start something. It's harder to stay with something. You say, why would I want to stay with something? Because it builds credibility. Staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. See, when somebody's done something for a long time, you can see, man, I see where they're going. I see the direction they're heading. And based on the end of their lifestyle, I'm going to follow their faith. See, the truth is this, jumping around from here to there diminishes your credibility. Go to James, if you would. You're there in Hebrews, just the next book over is the book of James, James chapter number 1. And if you would, keep a finger or put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in James, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. James chapter number 1. See, staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. I'd like to help some young couples and give some marriage advice. Okay, well then be happily married for a long time. Oh no, we've been married for 6 months and we're going to start, you know, Pastor, can we do a marriage seminar? No. You think you may be doing it all right. We've been married for 2 years, we got this figured out. Maybe you do, but how about we talk 10 years from now? And let's just build your credibility a little bit. That's why the Bible says that you're not supposed to ordain someone into ministry who's a novice. Nothing wrong with being a novice. It means you are new at something. All of us are new at something. All of us were new at some point. All of us were babies at some point. Nothing wrong with that. But when you're going to influence others, you need to build some credibility. Staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. Jumping around from here to there diminishes your credibility. James chapter 1, look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. He says, look, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing moving him around, nothing shaking him around. Why? For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Notice verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God says, look, if you can't be faithful, if you can't be consistent, if you can't be steady, if you can't just put your root down and stay somewhere for a while, he says, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. He says, there is no credibility in jumping around. Jumping around from here to there diminishes your credibility. Keep your place there in James. We're going to come back to it. Go with me to the book of Genesis, if you would. Genesis 49. First book in the Bible should be fairly easy to find, Genesis 49. Let me just give another word of advice to some of you young guys. You know that it's more impressive in your resume that you stayed somewhere for a long time? Oh, I'm a good worker. Look, you should hire me. I'm a good worker. I'm such a good worker. I've had 20 jobs in the last, 6 months. That's not impressive. Sometimes young guys are like, oh, I got this job, but I'm going to go get another job. And because I don't know what it is sometimes with people, it's hard. They get antsy. They can't stay anywhere. They don't want to just settle into something. But let me tell you something. Once you get a job, I'm not talking about maybe you just have a little starter job, whatever. Once you get a good job, a decent job, why don't you just stay there for a couple of years? Just be consistent. You know, that actually employers look at that and say, wow, there's someone who's faithful. See, staying somewhere builds your credibility. It builds the credibility of a good testimony. A double-minded man, someone who can't decide, they can't make up their mind, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, I'm not really sure. I mean, the Bible talks about being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And what does that mean? It means that you are an immature Christian. If you look at that context, it means that you are a babe in Christ. You're like, I might be King James. I'm not sure if I'm King James only. I think I am. I'm not. I watched the movie, but now then I read an article. Hey, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why don't you just decide, I'm going to stand somewhere, I'm going to take a position, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm just going to stay there. I'm just going to be there. I'm just going to be faithful. Staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility. Jumping around from here to there diminishes your credibility. Genesis chapter 49, look at verse 3. Notice what Jacob says. Jacob says to his son, Reuben. Genesis 49, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity. The excellency of power. He says, Reuben, you've got a lot of talent. You've got a lot of ability. You have a lot going for you. But there's one problem, Reuben. Verse 4. Unstable as waters, thou shalt not excel. Jacob here is saying to his son Reuben, he says, you know what your problem, Reuben? Is that you're unstable. You're double-minded. You're unstable as waters. And he says, because of that, you're not going to excel. Because of that, you're not going to excel. The excellency of the dignity, the excellency of the power, but you're unstable as waters. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look, you build credibility in your testimony when you stay somewhere. And look, I'm applying this to ministry and 10 years of being in church and all that, but whatever it is, whether it's your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's at your job, whether it's a diet, whatever it is, hey, just know something. It's better to stay than to start. Now, we all need to start, but try to stay somewhere. Build your credibility. I remember years ago when we were moving into our third building, the big building where we had the protest and all those things, a family came to our church and they sat my wife and I down and they felt the need to tell us their story, their testimony. And I felt like they were telling this in a positive way, like, oh, you should know about our testimony. But something we noticed about their testimony is that every 2 years, they left a church and went to another church. And they gave us like a 10-year history of their experience as adults in church. And as they were telling the story, we're talking about they had some major move and went somewhere, like just in town. And I remember my wife and I, you know, thinking, I wonder if they'll stay with us longer than 2 years. You know, they stayed 2 years, they moved on somewhere else. Why? Because jumping around from here to there diminishes your credibility. Why? Because staying somewhere for a long time builds your credibility, it builds character, it builds the tenacity needed to be faithful. It's more important to stay than to start. Why? Because it allows for a consistent Christian life. It's more important to stay than to start. Why? Because it builds credibility in your life. It's more important to stay than to start. Why? Here's point number 3. Because it produces considerable results. Because it produces considerable results. See, the truth is this. The Bible teaches that you will reap what you sow. I won't have you turn to the passage. We've looked at it lots recently. Go to the book of James, if you would. James chapter 5. The Bible teaches this principle that you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. The Bible's clear. You reap what you sow. And you know, the problem with the prosperity gospel people is that they'll claim that, right? But they leave one big factor out. They'll say, hey, you reap what you sow. And that's true. The Bible says you reap what you sow. And they'll say, invest $100 into our ministry this week, and God will give you $1,000 next week. Invest $1,000 next week, and you could have $10,000 the week after that. And they make these promises that God, you know, if you reap what you sow. But the big factor that they leave out is this, that yes, it is true that you reap what you sow. But you need to understand this. It takes time to reap what you sow. See, you don't just put a seed in the ground and it produces fruit immediately the next day. Are you in James chapter 5? Look at verse 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. James chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, be patient, therefore. He says, be patient. What does that mean? That means stay with it. Stay at it. Stay with it for a while. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Then he gives this example. He says, behold, the husbandman. What's a husbandman? It's a person who cultivates the land. It's a farmer. He says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath, notice these words, long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. He says, look, when a farmer puts seed in the ground and waters it, he doesn't wake up the next day and, oh, there's a plant. There's a stalk of corn. There's a tree producing fruit. Look, if it happened like that, we'd all be farmers. I mean, if it was that easy, we'd all be having, you know, gardens. And my wife has a garden in our home, and our kids work in the garden. I know many of our church people have gardens and have those things. And here's what you know. It takes time. You put a plant that seed, and then you need to have long patience for it. See, here's the truth. You will reap what you sow, but it might take a while. So you just keep reaping into those kids. I don't feel like I'm getting anything back. I feel like they're not getting it. I feel like they're not growing. I feel like they're not maturing. You just stick with it. You just stay at it. You just be consistent. You just keep investing into those kids, and eventually you'll reap what you sow. You just stay with that marriage. Say, I feel like my marriage isn't going anywhere. I feel like it's not working out. I feel like it's not good. You just stay with it. You invest in it. You get better. You help your wife get better. You help your husband get better. You do what God has called you to do. You just keep investing, and eventually, you'll reap what you sow. But the key word is this, eventually. See, the reason that some people just have their lives, they're just blown about with every wind of doctrine, they're blown about, they never really accomplish anything in their life, it's not that they're bad people, it's not that they don't work hard, it's not that they don't have a love for the Lord, it's that they never actually stay anywhere long enough to do anything. It takes time to accomplish something. So I'm here to tell you, staying is more important than starting. We're excited when we start. I'm excited. Over the last 10 years of ministry, we've started 5 churches. And I'm excited for each one of those churches. My wife and I pray for the leadership in those churches, the pastors and the pastors' wives and those satellite leaders and all that. I'm excited for Brother Jared celebrating 1 year of ministry last week, and Miss Heidi. I'm excited for Brother Stucky and in the Philippines, you know, doing what he's doing out there. I'm excited for Pastor Thompson and Pastor Jones. I'm excited for what the Lord has done amongst us. But you know, more exciting than starting something, we're always excited when we start something, right? Hey, we're starting a new church plant in Fresno, California, and everybody goes down there, and everybody shows up, and I'm not criticizing, that's a good thing. But you know, more exciting than starting something, I'm just excited about them staying there. Stay there for a while. Stay there for a long time. Build something. Be patient. Plant those seeds. I remember my dad encouraging us in the early days and when we first started the church, and it felt like it was just moving so slow. Now it feels like it's moving so fast, you know. The days are long and the years are short. And we were in the house, and we were in the house for about 1 year and 8 months. I remember thinking to myself, good night, when are we ever going to get out of this house? And we were, you know, I remember just feeling like, when are we ever going to break 100? When are we ever going to do this? And when are we ever going to do that? I remember my dad would encourage us to say, you know, it takes 5 years to cultivate a new church. The interesting thing is that the average pastor doesn't stay longer than 5 years. Sometimes we quit things right when God's about to start blessing. Right when God's about to start doing something. We quit on. Because you say, I'm not seeing the results. I'm not getting the results that I want. Hey, it's more important to stay than to start. You say, why? Because if you want considerable results, it's going to take time. You got to sow. You got to break up that fallow ground. You got to plant that seed. You got to reap and reap and reap. You say, when am I going to start sowing? You have to have long patience for it until you receive it, the early and latter rain. In verse 8, James 5 and verse 8, he says, be ye also patient. He says, be patient. Establish your heart. You know what it means to establish? To establish. To get founded, grounded, rooted. He says, settle down. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Go to the book of Exodus, if you would. Exodus chapter 4. Towards the beginning of the Bible, you have the book of Genesis and you have the book of Exodus. I like reading 1 and 2 Timothy because I like getting a perspective from an old preacher, Paul. And of course, that's scripture. But I even like to just, over the last couple of years, I've really enjoyed finding old recordings from old preachers. Yeah, I'm talking about Jack Hiles. I'm talking about Curtis Hudson. I'm talking about Lee Roberson. Old men who were faithful, men who pastored their churches for 40, 50 years, men who God used. And of course, we don't agree with everything they did, and we understand that. But one thing I've noticed as I listen to some of these recordings of these old pastors, these men who've come to the end of their lives, and they talk about their ministries and they're asked questions and they're told things. One thing I've noticed is that they always bring up, Jack Hiles did this in several of his books, and I've heard Lee Roberson do this recently. They'll bring up towards the end of their ministry as old men, they bring up their gratitude for men and women and families who have been with them for 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 years. And it makes me think that the real strength of a church comes in the amount of people, not that you necessarily have show up on a Sunday morning, but how many people stay with it for a while. See, it's more important to stay than to start. And I'm thankful for many of you. There's many of you that have been with us for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I'm thankful for you. But today, as I kind of think about the last 10 years, I just want to remind you and encourage you that it is more important to stay than to start. So look, we want to celebrate the start of your marriage. We want to celebrate the start of your child rearing. We want to celebrate the start of your new job and your new career. We want to celebrate the start of your new ministry. We want to celebrate the start of your discipleship and your Bible. We want to celebrate all those starts in life, but realize that it's more important to stay than to start. Amen. Because when you stay, you produce considerable results. When you stay, you gain credibility in your life. When you stay, you develop a consistent Christian testimony. Let me end this morning by just giving you one last thought here from Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Let me say this. Oftentimes when we talk about starting something, we talk about having great faith to start something. You may have heard somebody say something like this, oh, they're stepping out by faith to go start this new church, this new ministry, go out in the mission field. And that's true. I'm not minimizing that at all. It requires a lot of faith to start something. And I'm not minimizing that. But we usually think of faith in that capacity. Launch out into the deep. And I'm all for launching out into the deep. And I've recently preached on that subject. And have the faith in God to do what God has called you to do. Often, when we talk about faith, we refer to someone starting out in ministry. Oh, you know, you got to have faith. You're not sure how it's going to work out. You know, a young man, he's not sure. He hopes that God will help him with this new marriage and to be able to provide for his wife, to be able to provide for his children. And it takes faith to do that. And it's true. All of that is true. But I want you to understand something about staying versus starting. See, in Exodus chapter 4, we have this story where Moses literally just began his ministry. God gave Moses the ministry to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt and then to lead them for the next 40 years in the promised land. And when Moses began his ministry, God called him, God equipped him, God put him with his brother, he sent them into Egypt. Notice Exodus chapter 4, verse 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. They went, Exodus 4:29, and started this thing. Moses and Aaron went and they gathered the children of Israel, the elders of the children of Israel together. They just showed up to Egypt. This is the first thing they do. They gather everyone together, look at verse 30, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. Here's verse 31, and the people believed.
And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Notice Moses starts his ministry. He shows up with Aaron. He gathers all the elders of the children of Israel. And he says, hey guys, the Lord has called me to deliver you out of Egypt. I'm here to be your deliverer. And they told him all the words that the Lord said. And they showed all the sights of the signs and the sights of the people. And the people believed. And they were excited. Notice the last part, verse 21. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. The elders of the children of Israel were excited when Moses came. When Moses showed up, they were like, yay, this is awesome. This is great. God has sent a deliverer. But I want you to notice, if you turn to chapter 5, after the start of this thing, things got a little difficult. Notice Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day. The same day is a reference there to the same day that Moses went and spoke to Pharaoh. Moses went and spoke to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And I mean, I think Moses just kind of thought like, I'm just going to show up, say, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. He's going to say, sure, and it's going to be good. And it didn't go that way. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. What did he say? He said, up to this point, we've been having the children of Israel do this hard slave labor, but we've been providing the materials. We gave them the straw to make brick. He said, we're going to stop doing that. We're going to stop giving them the materials to make the brick. Look at verse 8. And the tail of the brick, which did they make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, we have been giving them the straw to make a certain amount of bricks. Now we're going to stop giving them what they need, the materials. They're going to have to go get their own materials, but they have to produce the same amount of bricks. He says, you shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Verse 9, let their more work, that is what Pharaoh is saying, let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Then the taskmaster of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not out of your work shall be diminished. They said, we're not going to give you what you need. You need to go find your own materials, and you better produce the same amount of bricks as you did before. Look at verse 14. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten. They were beaten. The same elders that in the previous chapter are worshiping God and saying, great, Moses is here. Now they're getting beaten and demanded, whereof have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? And of course they say, well, we can't make the same amount of bricks. Now we have to take more time. You're not giving us the supplies we need. And Pharaoh says to them, you are idle. He says, I'm putting more work on you because you obviously have too much time on your hands because you're talking to Moses about leaving. Look at verse 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, you shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. See, Pharaoh is being a jerk here. He's saying, oh, really? You guys want to go? You've got all this time to have a little worship service with Moses? Then you must have too much time on your hands. How about we stop giving you the materials you need for your bricks? You're going to have to go find your own materials and have the same amount of bricks produced. And if you don't, we're going to beat you. Pharaoh's coming down on them. Notice how the elders of the children of Israel respond. Remember, the elders of the children of Israel in chapter 40 were, yay, worshiping the Lord. Moses is here. One chapter later, verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. They said, Moses, you've made things worse for us. They said, the Lord judge you. You've made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. I want you to notice, how did Moses leave this meeting? In chapter 4, he leaves a meeting with the elders of Israel, encouraged, and wow, they're behind us, and they're with us, and God's going to do something great. Then difficulty comes. Then trials come. Then things get more difficult. And the elders said, Moses, you've made things hard for us. You've made things worse for us. We wish we would have never met you, Moses. How does Moses leave that meeting? Look at verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses says, since the day I got here, God, things haven't gotten better, they've gotten worse, and nothing's even happened yet. He hasn't even delivered the people yet, and they all hate me, and they're all mad at me, and things have gotten worse. Why did you send me here, God? And I would submit to you this morning that though it does require great faith to start something, sometimes it requires as much faith and maybe even more faith to stay with something than to start. I can relate to this verse because over the last several years, my wife and I have dealt with angry people. Who said, hey, I showed up and you guys started teaching about homeschooling and my wife quitting her job and, you know, dressing like a lady and men dressing like a man. And we're like, yeah, all excited. And then my wife left her job and the bills showed up. And then the grandparents got mad because we started homeschooling. And then the family turned on us. I mean, we literally had people say, our lives have gotten worse since we got here. And sometimes we say, why are we doing this? I mean, in 2016, we were running 220, 70 of our church people said, our life has gotten worse since we got here and left. And sometimes, I'm just telling you, it requires as much faith, if not more faith, to stay than to start. So you stay with it. You endure for a while. You decide, I'm going to put my roots down. I'm going to get stabilized. I'm going to put a foundation in. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do based on the Word of God. And I'm going to stay with it. Because though we celebrate the start of a thing, it is better. It is more important. It is more crucial to stay than it is to start. So you stay. You continue. You say, I'm in this thing for the long haul. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you that 10 years ago this week, we started Verity Baptist Church. But you know, I'm more thankful that you've allowed us to stay. I'm more thankful that you've sent us men and women who have said, we're going to stay with it. We're going to stay at it. We're going to stay. And Lord, help us to remember. Lord, help us to be keenly aware of the fact that it is good to start, and we must always start somewhere. But it's more important. It's more important to stay. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay another 10 years, another 20 years, in your service here at Verity Baptist Church. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.